Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, Education Officer at the NAGB, and I'm standing in for your regular host, Amanda Coulson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. If you missed the first part of our show or would like to share it with a friend, you can also listen to the show by going to the NAGB website at nagb.org.bs, scrolling down the Learn menu to Blank Canvas, where you can find all of our archive shows. While you are on our page, you also don't forget to check out our calendar and all the things happening at the NAGB. And we have a lot of things happening at the NAGB in the coming weeks. So coming up this week, we have our third teacher's seminar. We're looking at art and literature on the 20th from 10 to 3. This is for all teachers, not just art teachers. If you're interested, just contact me. My email is kcartwright@nagb.org.bs or call us at 328-5800 to reserve your spot. Also, our Inter-Island exhibition in Andrus just opened on the 15th. That was last night, and that is going to be up until the end of November. But this week, we have a lot of community outreach initiatives happening in Andrus and Fresh Creek Andrus. We have a public talk. We have workshops. We have a mural that's being painted right now that's going up in the public space. So if you are in Andrus, make sure you check it out. We also have a film screening on the 18th, and that is Rosemary's Baby. So if you are into horror, psychological horror in particular, please come out and spend some time with us. That is starting, I think, at 7:30, 8 o'clock, basically when the sun set. So make sure you get there for 7. And we also have Friday Night Live coming up on the 26th. That is next week, Friday. That's from 6 to 10, and that's the time when we utilize all parts of the NAGB property. There, Bodine Victoria is going to be in our amphitheater performing. We're going to have a mask-making workshop. We are going to have a special use corner with karaoke. We are going to have trick-or-treat stations. We're going to have drawing in the galleries. We're also going to have a special Halloween tour, and there's going to be food and drinks for sale. We're going to have Cassava Grill, the Bush Cook. They're all going to be there. It's going to be a great night, and this is all for the cost of coming to the museum. You can't get a better deal than that. And then, so there's a lot of things happening always. We also have our fourth Sundays on the 28th. That's when you can come to the gallery on our free resident Sundays, free for everybody who lives here. And remember, our free resident Sundays are every Sunday. But on our fourth Sundays, we give free tours. So if you want to take advantage of getting a free tour of the exhibitions, do come between 12 and 5 on Sunday. Just check into our mixed media store and let them know that you're interested in a tour. And we also have, an amazing, amazing October and November. That's all I can say. We also have another film on November 1st. That's Get Out, another horror flick. And that's also going to be done alongside extended museum hours with wine and drinks, because that's the evening that we are going to be officially opening our Creative Time Conference. And the Creative Time Conference is being held in Miami this year. The NAGB has been invited to be a screening site. And the Creative Time Conference is focusing on archipelagos and other thematics. Very long, long title. But basically, Creative Time is going to be inviting well-known international presenters working in fields that relate to gentrification, immigration and borders, arts and activism, all of that, to present at their conference. And we are going to be screening it alongside some of our very own local presenters who will be talking to these themes. We're going to have food on premise for sale. We're going to have snacks, and that runs from 10 to 6 on the 2nd. And we're going to wrap that up on the 3rd with a special photo walk and talk of our Over the Hill community. So if anybody ever says there's nothing to do with Nassau, please send them to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, because we have a lot of stuff going on. And if you want to know more about any of these activities, do go to our website at nagb.org, .bs. I am in the studio tonight with Jared Stubbs. We had Janice Hall here as well, a primary art school art teacher from T.G. Glover, and we were talking about her participation in our community outreach initiatives at T.G. Glover. And she had to leave us, but we had a great conversation about the mural program in Eleuthera, about how that affected the community in Eleuthera and really gave the community and the students a sense of pride in their culture. We also spoke about the importance of professional development for teachers. And now Jared and I are going to dive deep into our teacher seminars, because Jared has been at every single one of them. Our teacher seminars began in January of this year, and they were really conceived to give teachers the opportunity to have access to free professional development opportunities provided by the NAGB that focus on integrated learning. And integrated learning is when you take more than one subject, two subjects, three subjects, however you want to do it, and really find the connection between the two and use that to enhance your students' learning experience. In our case, we're looking at how art and others, when you combine art with other subjects, visual art in particular, how that can really enhance your students' learning experience and help them to actually retain that information more and become more interested in what they're doing. So, Jared, you started with us, working with us on this in January when we had our first seminar. It was art and math.
Yes, yes.
Initially, when you heard about it, what did you think about this whole idea of putting art and math together?
Well, when I first was told about it, my idea was like art, maths, like how is that going to work? Like numbers. The first thing was in my mind was numbers and art. So I'm like, okay, maybe we're going to be dealing with how we could add numbers into art, or how something in relation to that is going to happen. But I'm like, wait, just don't think of the basics. Like, think deeply into it. And actually getting there and seeing how it was shaped, I'm like, okay, yeah, I see how it makes sense now. Because, you know, you have angles and stuff like that. And you have different things in math where they have different shapes, geometric shapes specifically, used, like circles, triangles, and squares.
Mm-hmm.
So actually seeing how they had implemented geometric shapes in art already, because shapes is an element of art, so you already understand that maths and art go hand in hand, and they basically work together in that way. So the whole thing in that workshop was basically the teachers looking at how Brent Malone, a Bahamian artist who actually had used geometric shapes in one of his paintings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like showing them that it's not just painting, it's not just color and anything like that. It's actually different elements of art that relate to different subjects in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were other teachers who were there. I think there was a maths teacher, and then there was like a Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
There was a lady that worked within the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came there. They all benefited in some way. One teacher in specifically really felt like, oh, I really want to teach this as a lesson. And I think she was the math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really how you can just not basically teach the basics, but mm-hmm. teach on a wider variety.
Yeah.
So you are still within your curriculum, but just expanding on it, you're just making it more localized, and then you're making it more relatable, and then just implementing something else in there.
And you're also tapping into the different ways that people learn.
Yes.
Right? Because this idea that we ever stop being engaged with our environment, because, you know, children, infants, when they experience the world, they see, they touch, they taste. The idea that we don't still experience the world the same way when we become adults, I think is a little ridiculous, because I have watched adults come into the gallery and want to touch something because it looked Because it looks so very tactile, right?
Yeah, it looks like, very interesting.
It looks very interesting. They're interested. They want to touch the surface. I mean, not that you're supposed to touch the surface. But we're still very tactile. We see. We want to touch. And if we can, we want to taste. Of course, you don't want to taste anything because you know what you're going to be eating. But the fact of the matter is that's still the way we interact with the world. That's still the way we retain information, right? Mm-hmm. So by bringing that in, by teaching while not making it seem as if you're teaching, because that's the other thing too, right? As an educator, the biggest barrier you have is a student who's already saying, well, I'm terrible at math.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at English. I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at that. I can't do that. Like, it's always the I can't, right?
Yes.
So by bringing the arts into another subject like math, you're actually teaching without making it seem like you are teaching.
Exactly, and making it more enjoyable. So when you get that interest, they're really more interested in learning mm-hmm. and actually not realizing that they're learning. So
right.
they realize that, oh, yeah, I did that, but, oh, I didn't realize that, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like that aha moment, that wow moment that teachers love to see on their students' faces.
Mm-hmm.
Once they see that, they'll be like, okay, I got it.
Right.
Especially for those who probably may struggle in those areas. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a great way to look for a different variety, especially when you look for something to actually cater towards the different learning styles in the mm-hmm. classroom. It's more beneficial to say, okay, I didn't have to just go from the book and pencil in this way. I could actually make something different.
Right. And that's the other thing too, right? Because we still learn through experience. So how do you think your students would feel if you said, hey, yeah, we're doing math, but we're going to take a trip to the gallery?
I mean, when they hear math and then gallery, they're like, so we're going to a math gallery? I'm pretty sure someone in the classroom would have that comment. But other than that, knowing that they're in an art classroom, they're going to an art gallery, the interest that they would probably be looking for is what exactly at the art gallery has maths?
Has anything to do with math.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like taking them there and actually showing them, hey, this is the painting. And they're like, I don't see math.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know they're going to be, I don't see math. Because if it's not directly in front of them, the question is, expand on this. Like,
right.
explain to me mm-hmm. what exactly is math in this painting.
Right. And then we also did art and history in June mm-hmm. of this year, which was, again, a different approach because we're looking at history. And, of course, I think it's much easier to connect history to art because there are many historical paintings out there, many historical sculptures. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And you were there, of course, as a part of the discussions. What kind of feedback did you get from the educators who were participating? Did you hear?
Most of them I saw speaking towards on it, because I was even shocked to really see that my high school teacher was there, because I told her about it the first time and she was like, oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her how I basically was able to get a lesson plan from it and actually teach it in the classroom to see how successful it was and see how students really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
So actually her seeing me teach the lesson I learned from the first workshop, she came to the second one. And then seeing how they were talking about they don't really get the supportive background to actually give the students something mm-hmm. in a different lighting, because it's like every school is just doing the same thing with a book.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just, oh, I'll let you watch this video or maybe a documentary. But the thing more of in a relatable history background,
mm-hmm.
the conversation what they were really focusing on was how would art actually benefit a history classroom and other things like in geography, because geography and history go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they look at it, some of the work that was inside the gallery at the time basically was focused on the Bahamas back in a time where really cameras weren't around. So it showed how these moments weren't captured digitally or by cameras. They were captured by artists and paintings and watercolors.
Mm-hmm.
So it showed many different parts of the island that were at that time.
Oh, yeah, because we were looking at Traversing the Picturesque in
yeah.
particular. Yes, yes. That was an exhibition that was up at the museum during the summer.
Yes.
Was it during the summer? Yes, yes, mm-hmm. it was. Well, a portion of the summer. Yeah.
And then the thing is with that is they had a chance to look at these different places, not just locally in Nassau, but other islands in the Bahamas where you can say, okay, remember this area, if you're familiar with this area, before it was that area, what you see now every day, it used to look like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you see all the different paintings of the different forts and all these historic areas
mm-hmm.
inside the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
When students realize and look that, oh, that had that kind of meaning,
mm-hmm.
then it's like they want to have taken that pride mm-hmm. to be like, okay, I want to do something like this. I want to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're learning more in their history to know, well, my grandparents used to be in this area. They
right.
they grew up over in this area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like with whatever emotions or everything they would gather from that,
mm-hmm.
they could develop an art piece based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the things, because the activity that was done at the workshop was based off printmaking and showing how you can bring that into the classroom basically by just remembering the different colors and things you would have seen, because
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of trees,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of green, and there was a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you already know the color of our water and the color of our trees basically go hand in hand.
Right, and it's also about perspective, right? And I think that's the thing that historical paintings teach you, is that unlike even with documentaries, things that you just watch, this is all being done from one or two or the perspective of one or two people,
mm-hmm.
right? Which means that it could be extraordinarily subjective and not objective. So also having students ask questions, you know, based on what you've learned and based on what you see, what kind of lens do you think the artist has right now? What kind of lens are they looking through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter how we try to be objective as artists, reality is that we are always influenced by where we come from, how we're socialized. And that changes the way we see things, right? So the way you see something will not be the way I see something. And that's a whole other conversation to be had about history, right? And the next workshop that's coming up on the 20th is about art and literature. So we're looking at stories again, but stories not so much from the point of factual, mostly factual stories.
Yeah, more fiction.
More possibly fiction, but, you know, all fiction is rooted in some fact. It comes from somewhere. And could you, when you think about the arts and your experience in arts, how do you see literature tying into that?
Well, I mean, from I actually understood what literature actually was,
mm-hmm.
I understood it was basically an art form of someone just telling, it's basically storytelling. It's mm-hmm. just someone putting their creative practicing on wanting to bring something and give it life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just by writing it down and telling the story of it.
Right.
So it's many different things you could actually get from it. And then it's almost like just taking like a certain sentence or phrase from it. And then you'd be like, okay, I understand this, but I really feel passionate about it. So just by knowing that, they could actually show their own expression for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so this is what we're really looking at when we look at integrated learning, is all of the connections, whether it's through history, whether it's math, and in this case, literature. And the next workshop we have after this, which is going to be about 2-3 months from now, is going to be held in February. Of 2019 is going to focus on science. So you can see we're trying to hit as many of the subjects as we can. So, but for this particular workshop, we are going to ask the teachers who are participating to bring a novel, not a factual book, not a history book, but a novel, preferably a classic, and really begin to think about how that this art form ties into a more visual art form, right? So it's really shaping up to be something really, really exciting. And Jared is going to be there for that as well. So anybody who's thinking about coming, do ask who is Jared, so you can introduce yourself to him. He is very involved with the museum, and he makes the effort to come to every single one of our professional development events. That's it for this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Katrina Cartwright, Education Officer at the NAGB, filling in for your regular host, Amanda Colson. I'm in to see you with Jared Stubbs, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.